Good afternoon. I'm Mike Poore, Superintendent of Little Rock Schools, and I appreciate everyone coming together this afternoon for us to kind of provide an update out to the community related to our work on trying to work on our budget and really trying to make sure that we create a situation where we deal with the loss of desegregation money. As many of you know, we've already had a significant reduction that has taken place over the last 2 years. And our employees have done a tremendous amount of work to live within those budget reductions. They've had a loss in terms of contributions towards their insurance. They've also cut days in terms of the amount of time that's on their contract. So our employees have certainly felt it, and we've actually had a reduction over the district over the last several years that exceeds $20 million. Yet we still have more to reduce in terms of having the loss of the $37-plus million of desegregation money that had been coming into the school district. The work on this, this is a starting point. This is a work in progress. This is not something today that just defines exactly this is going to for sure happen. But it is important that we do several things. As I came in to the school district, there were several things that were presented to me as challenges from everybody, from the commissioner, to the public, and that is to be as transparent as possible, to do as much as possible, to be collaborative, and then third and most importantly was to get local control back. And it's our aim and our idea that everything that we are doing is trying to build towards a better tomorrow. And you might say, well, how are we going to build towards a better tomorrow when you have to reduce $10 million? And I know that many people think, wow, you know, $10 million, there's no way, and let's just, you know, put our head in the sand. That is not what will happen within this district with my staff and with me as your superintendent. We plan on getting better tomorrow. We plan on being a better school district next year. To that effect, during the course of today, we've talked to a variety of different people, and the first meeting really started off with principals of impacted sites that will have their building repurposed or reutilized or possibly even use the word closure towards their site. We then met with our overall administrative team because it's important that our administrators are empowered and understand the things that are happening within our school district. And then we've had a variety of different meetings with different stakeholder groups this afternoon so that they were made aware of things. This effort now is to go ahead and make all of you aware. As people watch the news this afternoon or the live streaming that might be taking place, please know that the district is going to follow up with communication. One of those forms of communication will be that obviously we'll update our website with important documents for you to access, but we also, to our parents, will be sending things out through the Blackboard that allows us to communicate and provide you documents that we think you will find valuable. Those things will include a process for community to be involved with us in this school district in terms of further discussions. It also will include something that we call a facilities planning document, and then it will also include a document related to potential budget reductions. So when you look at one of the things that we're doing, and I know that all of you will probably focus on this and ask different questions, but we have put together kind of a next phase, a next step of where we are with potential budget reductions. And one of the things as community gets to look at this is that we've got kind of things categorized into four different areas. The first area in green are really things that they're, you could look at it as low-hanging fruit, but really there's nothing that's easy because we've already made $20 million worth of budget reductions. Now we're having to tighten a little bit further to get to that mark. But we are in the belief that we can pull off these things that are listed in this first category that you will see in your homes this evening. And the things that are included in that category are reducing our transportation costs. Right now we have students that we transport to Pulaski School District and also to North Little Rock. Those get eliminated. I'm assuming that will also happen in our sister school districts. We also plan to tighten our own transportation. Third, we will be making position reductions at our administrative level, meaning the central office group. And then we also will be tightening up legal expenses. The next area where we will be working on tightening our budget is with staffing reductions at within our staff, primarily at the secondary level. What that primarily means is looking at really three different levels of employees: classified, certified, and administrative group, and looking to see whether we have the appropriate ratios and trying to have class sizes that better match with what state standards are. For example, the state has a standard that you can have no more than 30 students in a high school classroom. Right now, there are very few of our classrooms that ever get up past 25. So we can staff a little bit better. We also understand that there are certain buildings they simply can't even have more than 25 because of the size of the structures and the buildings. So we have to be smart about that particular one. We also know that we can tighten up on some of our staffing there in terms of administration. You'll see that we bring up school closures. I'd like to round back to that if I could and kind of get through the rest of the list so that you can talk about school closures and reutilization in a more deep way, because I'm sure that will be the focus of many people's questions. We are looking at potentially reducing various duty stipends, and you can see that these are highly likely to implement. It doesn't mean that we're going to. There's a process throughout all of this to get to a place where we come up with a budget reality. The various stipend reductions that you see on your list would include things like having teachers get paid for lunch duty or for bus duty at the end of the day. Typically, most school districts have that as a part of just their general expectation for employees. So we will be looking to see if we can reduce anything there. The area in red are things that we as pointed out here, last resort. We hope not to do this. And if you look at it, health insurance reductions are one that impacts every single employee. We know that in Little Rock School District, one of the things that's a good thing is that we contribute more towards their insurance than other districts. And currently we are at $275 in our contribution. If we reduce that by $25, it's $1 million worth of savings. But what is needs to be known is that our employees have always already had a reduction from $350 down to $275 that they helped and supported last year as we move forward on reductions. So they made a significant contribution by taking the decrease last year. The other thing that's impactful about why I personally don't recommend doing the health insurance reduction is that there's two things. One is that impacts some of your lowest paid employees the most. It takes money out of everybody's pocket, but those that are classified employees, custodians, parapros, secretaries, it impacts them even far heavier than anyone else. The other thing is we know that insurance rates are probably going to increase, and so that's a challenge to try to adjust there. Privatization of services. I'm very proud of the service that we get from our food service staff and also from our custodial staff. And many people ask, why is that even on the list? But the reality is that if we did go there, we could possibly save $1 million. So it had to be on the list. But right now, we're hoping not to do that as a result of trying to tackle things really in the top two columns of A and B. Educational stipends reduction probably was the one through our community engagement process of asking folks to share what they thought we could do with budget and what are the things we might want to consider. We probably got more feedback on that one than any other item of teachers. I'm sure it was teachers, maybe spouses saying, please don't touch that particular stipend. We pay $5,000, and that's probably a good thing to market to show people that this district does really value National Board certified teachers, but we also pay that stipend at a higher rate than other districts. So that could have been a reduction, but as you can see, we're choosing not to. The final thing on the budget reduction sheet that's in blue, it talks about portable class removal. I think that should be a good goal for our district overall. Right now, we have 54 portables throughout our school district. When you look at it from an elementary level, one of the things that we're going to try to work on is probably try to at least reduce that footprint by 16 portables. As you reduce it, you save energy. Second thing that you do is you get to potentially sell those buildings. And the final thing is it does create a safer campus environment when you have folks on campus rather than having to move towards portables. So those are all things that we're thinking in terms of an ongoing process for this budget. But one of the things that's impactful that probably most of you want to learn about today is, you know, what we're looking at in terms of potential recommendations for using buildings differently. So I'm going to try to go through each of these. As soon as I finish with this, then I'll open myself up to questions if that's okay. The first thing that we're looking at is one of the potential sites where we could utilize a building differently is with Carver Elementary. And if you look at Carver Elementary, And those of you that now may be at home and getting to watch this on news later, look at a document that's a spreadsheet-looking document, and you can actually start to track a little bit about some trend data. It's important to note that in this district, we have 300 less students this year, more than 300 students less that we're serving from the prior year. We also know that we have 2,300 open seats at the elementary level. That's before you count portables, 2,300 seats. You add on the fact that if you add portables into that mix, now you end up with approximately about 4,000 seats at the elementary level that are open, not being used. And so constricting with the things that we're talking about here, it doesn't put us in a place where we're at capacity, but it does help us get to a budget item. If you look at Carver Elementary, the current enrollment right now is approximately 290 students. 3 years ago, that enrollment was 474 students. You can also look across and look at the board zone. All of our schools are in a board zone. We have seven board zones. In board zone one, there's 46% less students in Little Rock in board zone one than what there was 15 years ago. That's by census data. Now, when you think about that, that's not just Little Rock students. That's homeschool students. That's charter school students and private school students who could access any form of education. There's 46% less students in board zone one than what there was in the year 2000. So Carver, what our plan for that is that we would like to convert that into a preschool center. And I firmly believe that we need to offer more preschool opportunities in the Little Rock area. And you will find me as your superintendent fighting for that. I believe that the Commissioner of Education values preschool education, as does our governor. And I'm hoping that, we can find additional resources, not only within our own budget, but also within the state to help support us in terms of advancing preschool opportunities. And we think Carver, it's an excellent campus. Where do Carver students go? Carver students have the opportunity to go to a variety of different places. Carver currently is a magnet. If we do, in fact, move forward on this recommendation, which is still in flux, that would happen more in January that you'd know for sure. But at that point, parents would, if the decision moves forward, they could go towards Booker Arts Academy. They could go towards Gibbs Magnet, or they could even go towards Washington Elementary, or they could go back into their home attendance area. And we will actively work to support parents if we, in fact, move forward on this. Booker Arts Magnet, we actually plan to expand that particular campus and eventually make it into a K-8. Next year, we'll just make it one step further and go K-6. I think it's exciting that Booker Arts Magnet, there are very few fine arts type magnets anywhere in this region, and we think that can be a real attraction and draw. But we also like what's available at the other schools that are down in that region, including Gibbs, including Washington, where we do have space available. The next campus that we're looking at is Franklin Elementary. Franklin Elementary has had a drop in enrollment from 2013-14 from 443 students to its current enrollment of just under 270 students. Its board zone, in terms of where things are right now, it's had a drop of approximately about 14% less students in that board zone than what we previously had. Franklin has wonderful partners. It has a wonderful staff, as does Carver. And we want to have those staffs be able to gravitate towards buildings where we move the kids. We also want to hopefully have partners move with those students. Franklin is a great example of that. They have a clinic that's an awesome clinic that supports those students. We actually think that if we can work it out with Children's Hospital to move towards Stevens Elementary, which is where we plan to, if we move forward on this proposal, have Stevens take in the Franklin kids. Stevens has capacity, and if the clinic went over there, it would just serve that many more students. We also know that there are faith-based organizations that are part of the environment at Franklin, and we want to honor those faith-based organizations and hopefully have them continue with their partnerships, that primarily being St. Mark Baptist Church and also Fellowship. We don't want to lose any of our partnerships, and we hope that no matter what ends up happening in terms of our utilization of sites, that we'll continue with those partners because those create deeper opportunities and experiences for our kids and our families. The third area that we are looking at doing something different is at Wilson Elementary. Wilson Elementary is one of our smaller campuses. It also is surrounded by a variety of other elementaries in a very close proximity. Wilson Elementary has 316 students in its current enrollment. It is a board zone that's also lost students, just over 16% less students over this 15-year span. Wilson Elementary students would probably be moved to three or four different locations, all making them hopefully even maybe a little closer to where they're at in terms of proximity. Western Hills could receive students, Romine, as well as Bale Elementary. And those are things that we'd work on. The repurposing of Wilson would actually have us have the Hamilton Learning Academy have a component of their program move over towards Wilson Elementary. And so Hamilton Learning Academy would move over. That is a place where we work with students who have had a variety of different issues to be able to better serve them at Wilson. We are looking at closing the Hamilton site. We don't want to lose the Hamilton name. That's one of the things that has been mentioned to me in terms of discussion is that Hamilton family has had an impact in this community. But we also want to give consideration that we might be able to have a K-8 at Bale. Is that set in stone? No, it's not. In fact, all the things that we're talking about are opportunities for our community to engage in further discussion. And those discussions start next week in a release that we gave last week. We shared opportunities for stakeholders to talk to us about utilization and contribute in terms of ideas that they may have. Those meetings are set up, and they begin on November 9th and go through December 6th, and we actually will be in each board zone. And you should have within your packets the dates of that. And the parents that are listening to this, you can also access this either through our website or in the communications that we're sending out this afternoon to all of you. Hamilton, again, it's so close to Bale that might be a possibility within that campus of Bale and Hamilton joining together to form kind of a K will allow the community to really have input in terms of whether they think that's a good idea. The final campus that's under consideration for a potential reutilization or closure is Woodruff Preschool. That one is not within your utilization document, the preschool data, although it is a part of the capacity study that has been given to you. Woodruff Elementary is a small preschool. As you've heard me speak earlier, we have no intent of trying to lessen the number of preschool seats. In fact, we want to expand preschool opportunities. But that site is so small, energy efficient, building-wise, we can expand with sending those students to Carver Elementary. And we also hope at Carver Elementary on preschool to try to create a situation where we create more three-year-old slots and possibly even more birth to three spots, because those are things that actually impact what we're doing in terms of lessening the achievement gaps that go on. So those are our five places where we are looking at. I think it's important for the community to understand that we are going to be reaching out when we go into these different board zones, which start on November 9th. The first one is at Dunbar Community Center, and that's for Zone 1, but anyone can come to any of the meetings. I mean, we're not locking anyone out, but on Zone 1, we want to make sure that we created proximity for people to have access. At that meeting, people will get an update from the superintendent at each one of the meetings in the community, giving a little bit better view of where our budget is and how we came to the decisions. And then we actually will allow people to work with this document in tables with teams to think deeper about what are the possibilities, options, what are other considerations. It's important that we are looking not just at what's going to happen this year, but what's going to happen over a three-year span. We plan to make our district better each and every day, and we plan to be better next year. One of the things that we need to do as a community is we need to move forward on building a high school in Southwest Little Rock. That was promised to this community, and the intent is to move forward on that. And my proposal on that is to be able to go to the voters at some point, possibly as early as this spring, to ask for an extension of the mill levy, not asking for a tax increase, not a tax increase, not a tax increase, not a tax increase, but a situation where we extend the debt so that we generate $160 million to not only handle building Southwest Little Rock High School, but we've got to do something with McClellan. if we're going to combine McClellan and Fair, there has to be a plan behind it to say, here's what we do for McClellan. That's a great neighborhood. And so we've got to create something. And if you look at the planning document right now, one of the suggestions for McClellan would be to make it a K-8 environment in that part of the city. We also need to think about what we're going to do with Fair. We also need to give consideration as we think about resources that we're going to ask the public to give us by extending the debt, again, no new taxes, is that we can invest into schools that need it across the board. All of our campuses are in different states where they have not had some of the love and care that's needed. Some don't have air conditioning units in their kitchen areas. Some have leaks within the roofs. Others have lighting and utility issues, parking lot, even cosmetic things that we can go do to try to enhance. Is it the be-all, end-all to get this taken care of? No, but it's one step that would help us gain, I hope, some trust within the community in terms of folks saying, wow, look what's happened here. Look how they use the resources. Look what happened in terms of enhancing the environments for every single child within this school district. So the utilization work that we're doing, I know it has a feel a little bit like, wow, here's what you did to get to the budget reduction. That is a reality. We have to get to a budget reduction. It's similar to a family member that if you have a spouse that takes a job that's $20,000 less and it's their dream job, more than likely most of us say, go for it. It's your dream job. But then we got to do some things differently within our own home to be able to live in a way that meets our budget. We have to do the same thing right now. We have to go ahead and reduce our budget based on the things that's been taken out of our existing resources, which is the DSEG money. But we also need to be of consideration to what we're going to be as a district over the next 3 years. And at this time, I'll address any questions, and I'll try to, you know, make sure that this is balanced in terms of different people getting the opportunity to ask questions. Benji?
Yeah. You mentioned 300 fewer students from last year. Of course, we know that Eastham Charter School is planning on building a new elementary on the east side of town. And I don't know how far away it is from Carver, but you know that's within that same side of town. Can you speak at all to that, to the decline in student population in the district versus the expansion of seats in the
Well, I think it's kind of there's a multiple part answer, and we probably could talk for a long time on just that one question. But if you look at it, you know, first off, there is the reality that there is expansion of charter school seats. Second is you got to look at it historically that we have lost seats in Board Zone 1 over a 15-year span, even before charter schools were there. So there's a span of time where we've had less students to serve. One of the things that we've got to do as we move forward and work on tightening our belt, we also have to create options and opportunities that parents say, wow, I want to be here. I think K-8 is one of those considerations, and especially at Booker Arts, if we created a fine arts magnet with a STEM approach like Carver had and kind of combine those things, I think that's very attractive. I also can tell you that one of the things that we've talked with all of our leadership about is, you know, what do we do to really recruit and hold on to families? And one of the things that I hope people are seeing already is that we have our principals down going into multiple levels. They're not just holding an open house and say, hey, come see us. Do you want to come? It's about parents getting to see our principals, our teachers, coming down into lower levels to talk to them and let them see who they are. Because we've really got great people in this district, and we need to showcase them so that they can start to think about going towards it. It's also about creating partnerships with the community to hold on to them in this school district. One of the things that our middle schools are working on is working with a variety of different partners to create project-based learning environments, so that we have some things that parents say, wow, Henderson's actually going to partner with the zoo? That would be so cool for my kid to have opportunities to do project-based learning and tied into the zoo. Today, in a meeting with at Pulaski Tech, we had Pulaski Heights Middle School showcased by UALR saying they're going to partner with them, as is UMAS, to have project-based learning at Pulaski Heights Middle School. We have First Security getting ready to work at Pinnacle View. We'd love to have Heifer International work with Dunbar, just to give you a couple examples of things that we think will be very attractive to kids and parents and enhance the learning environments throughout our middle school environments.
So is there someone appointed to be that person that's working on those partnerships, or is it each school trying to do that on their own, or does the board have someone?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I think it's going to take a variety of different people. obviously I have my hand in that in terms of continuing to try to push it and help connect people. We are going to use a variety of other sources to help us, because I think, you know, these things, as we set up these partnerships, it's really important that it goes well for the business community and for us, because then it creates sustainability. People want to continue to work with us. We don't want this to be a one and done. We want them to be regular occurrences in the building. So every day, you know, there's people coming in. If you think about that, you know, middle schools, kids, they know when to act inappropriately. They know when there's adults not around. And if we can have more adults in our buildings and they can be involved in helping kids really think critically and work collaboratively and do something that's meaningful, that's going to be a positive change for us in the district.
If I recall right, among the middle schools with, or the elementary schools with poverty rates that are, you know, 80% and higher, the very top of the pack of that category are Carver and Terry. So given that Carver has had a, you know, high performance academically, what do you say to parents who would say, why close down a school that's working well?
Well, you know, there's a couple things that I'd share, and you just to point out, you said Carver and Terry, and I want to make sure no one thinks Terry's closing. So Terry is not closing. The other thing is that if you look at it across our demographic data in terms of just overall things with free and reduced lunch population, we're pretty consistent now as a district in terms of some of our demographics. Yes, there's a little bit of discrepancy, but a lot of our schools exceed that 80% threshold of free and reduced. Carver and multiple other schools have done a good job on their academic program. One of the things that I think happens is that we actually enhance that opportunity. If you look at it right now, and this isn't a perfect science, but there might be two teachers per grade level at Carver. And so if there's two second grade teachers, and now all of a sudden they combine with Booker, who has two teachers at a grade level, now you might have four or five teachers all working together. It's been my experience as an educator and as an administrator that if you have five teachers, I love the odds of what that represents in terms of them planning and working and collaborating and helping with supporting students, both on students that are accelerating as well as students that need extra support. So I think that happens. The other thing that happens when you combine some of these schools that have lower populations is that it creates a different threshold in terms of support staffing. So our principals, they know, everybody knows that if you get to 500, you get an assistant principal. Okay, that's an extra set of hands and an extra instructional leader. But also you get full-time counselor. You get a full-time nurse. You're going to get other things in terms of services for special needs children. So some of those things in terms of enhancement actually occur as you have a little bit larger population.
Two more questions, please.
We're talking about central office. You said those are looking for position cuts. Do we know, can you tell us numbers of positions that would be cut? And are we planning, I mean, teachers, you said, at these schools are going to be shuffled to other schools? Or?
Yes. So a couple things is what your question represents. One is that and if I don't capture all of them, come back to me. Just make sure, because I heard three things. But one is that we know that the at the elementary level, we primarily believe that staff will follow the students as they move to different sites. At the secondary staffing, that doesn't play out for a while. So those that are thinking, wow, we're going to go announce cuts for secondary staffing in January, not going to happen, because we don't start the process of having students go through their registration process until February, and we don't finish it till the end of February. So really some of the secondary staffing decisions won't get made till later in the spring in terms of looking at how we package and tighten those type of things. You had one more question that I'm missing.
Central office.
Central office, thank you. Central office, we've already started it. We've lost two employees in the last, let's just say, 2 weeks. One of them was the assistant to the superintendent, Mrs. Barbara Halford, who is a very valued employee, and we're not planning on backfilling in that. You know, as you lose revenue, you got to make decisions, so we've chose not to eliminate it. Second person is an individual that was a part of the Hamilton Learning Academy and worked at multiple campuses, Reggie Merritt, great community partner. He actually got hired by our teacher association at a higher rate of pay, but we're not backfilling his position. And so we will continue to work on that. We have not announced any of the cuts or looking at, you know, how many that actually represents. But we will continue to refine that list and be working on that more towards the spring.
There are no idea of how many we need to cut to make.
No, but just those things that have happened so far this year, we've already probably got to close to $200,000 by the time you had salaries and benefits of those two positions.
But you plan on cutting teachers, staff,
well,
as you go through this?
And just, I'm just going to make sure I shape that right, is that, you know, you're looking at it, the tightening of staffing happens at specifically more of the secondary level of what we do, and we've talked to our principals about that, of staffing building, so that they try to get the maximum in terms of students. We're not trying to get 30 in every classroom, but we also can't afford to only have one or two classrooms that are above 25. And as you do that, that will lead to some tightening. We also will look at administrators at the secondary level, just to see if there's any adjustments that we need to make there. And, of course, we will do the same thing with support staff. That's a process also that we'll carry out throughout the spring. The one thing that kind of really is driven in terms of a timeline for budget, and then it sets up a lot of the other things that we do, because if you move forward on the school closure, reutilization type concept, it actually helps shape then what the rest of the budget looks like. Because if you choose to go there, as you can see, if we go do the full thing that I'm suggesting right now, that would be a $5.6 million reduction. If you add that on to the other $4 million that's on the green, now we've almost got to a level where we want to be as we started off with trying to get $10 to $11 million of budget reduction. So, you know, that whole thing of how much we cut or tighten at the secondary, it kind of weighs a little bit, first off, on what we end up doing with school utilization. And community now will get the chance to participate in the discussions on that aspect over the next month or two.
Have you handed out notices to staff at Franklin about closing?
And I am going to answer that question because it's a good one. And I know there are probably other good ones coming, but there is a place where you have to kind of shut down. But what we did is we talked to every individual principal this morning and that were impacted and had that one-on-one type of conversation. And then those principals, and that was one of the things that we were trying to be a little sensitive about in terms of, you know, Skyping this live, is that those conversations are happening this afternoon. And we wanted the principal to have the opportunity to be able to talk to their staffs with factual information and provide them, you know, here's what we know, here's what's going on, and allow them to have that personal opportunity. So those things are happening at the impacted sites. And remember, right now, it's a recommendation that's in front of everyone. Thank you very much for your time today.